Once again, friends, how are you? Welcome into the Eric St. Joe podcast. I'm right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Mondays are a little squirrely because of the radio station staff meeting, but here we are. I need to make a camera adjustment. Bear with me. Okay. There we go. Hole in the wall and everything. Okay. So, yeah. It was, it got done about half an hour ago, but I had some in-between things that I needed to do. Letting the dogs out is the big one. Darla is in, something's up. It's like every time I turn around, she wants to go outside. I think she's having some type of tummy issues. What with the, she threw up earlier, but, you know, whatever. We'll figure that out. No big deal. I have an update for you on the great food giveaway. The total dollar amount that we need to raise is $3,634. Now, I had been saying for the longest time that I don't have that number. Would it surprise any of you if I did have that number and it was sent to me in an email and I just missed the email? Does that sound like something I would do? Absolutely, it does. In fact, earlier in this show, I talked about how that got me in trouble with the radio station. I don't read them all. They just slip through somehow. I don't know how it happens. Anyway, as of November 27th, I had the dollar amount so that I can dangle the carrot in front of my beautiful audience members to raise money for these folks who, well, they need food. Well, they need somebody to cover the cost of their Christmas meal. Otherwise, they just won't have one. Great food giveaway number 5 happens December 20th at Irvine's. The dollar amount we need to raise for all of the food is $3,634. The hams are 89 cents a pound for a 10-pound ham. That costs $1,335. Potatoes. 5-pound bags of potatoes are $2.99. That's $448. The gravy, $1.99 a jar, $2.98.5. Corn, $207 at 69 cents. Rolls, $2.49. A package, that's $373. Pumpkin pies, 150 pumpkin pies, $973. Grand total, $3,634. Okay, now, we have some work to do. As of right now, we have $2,025 raised for great food giveaway number 5. The latest one was John. John K. sent along some cash. I appreciate that very much. On the 5th of December. That was the last time that cash rolled in for great food giveaway. So, I am re-energizing the message and saying it as much as I possibly can so that as many people can hear it and we can come up with this cash. I have no doubt that we will have it. I am guessing by midweek next week, we will actually make the purchase of the food. One way or another, we will get it. So that is, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and put this into the chat so that in case there's anybody who's watching this and has not thrown a few shekels in our hat, we would appreciate that. Great food giveaway. Venmo at Eric-Zeitunian. PayPal at Eric Zane Show. Thank you, thank you. And away we go. Megan also has a wish list of women's feminine hygiene products that we will be giving away. Let's see. Where is... Amazon wish list. Got it. Okay, there it is. The Amazon wish list is also included in the chat for the live stream. And, of course, it is in the links in the show notes of the audio podcast. Curious as to where we are on that, if it has kind of plateaued. Yeah, no big deal. We wanted 40 packages of the what's known as period cups. We have 22. 21 out of 150 for one type of pads, 22 out of 150 for another, 17 out of 150 for another, and 16 out of 60 for the Tampax, actual tampons. Okay, so we'll have those. If you want, when you click on the link in the wish list and then you purchase those, if you buy all of just one of those, that's just a little bit more than $42. And when you have it shipped, it will ship to Irvine's. So that is cool. If anything is weird on that, or if you go to do it and it looks like it's not agreeing with you, just let me know or reach out to Megan somehow at Irvine's, and we will help you along. So yeah, there you go. Also, the Grand Rapids Pit Bull Alliance will be there. They've got a ton of food donations. That's how they stay afloat, with just simple donations. And so that's great. Thank you so much to them. People pull up 3 p.m. on the 20th. They get the pet food. If they have a pet, they get the box of food for the Christmas meal. And if they need any type of feminine hygiene products, by all means, Team Pink will pass them out. And if you would like to volunteer your time, basically, we got plenty of volunteers. But the more, the merrier, okay? You have them pull up. And you're all there. We're all there. We're having a good time. Afterwards, we go have a meal over at, what's the name of the place? El Burrito. Not El Burrito. Beltline Bar. That's kind of like our de facto place. We had a good time last year. Hang on. I got to drink this coffee. Mm-mm-mm. I hate doing this in front of you, but it's very important that I do it. One more, I swear. All right, got that out of the way. A little bit more about Jeremy's weight loss. That figure that he has to average up until the new year to get to 375. I think it's 3.63 pounds. 3.62 pounds. If you lost 3.62 pounds for the remaining 39 weeks of the year since you started this, you would have lost an additional 141 pounds. So if you're 286.9 now, and you lose another 141 in a year, you'll be 145 pounds. That's too much, right? Yeah, I don't think that that's what we're shooting for. You'd look like, you know, one of those hunger strikers in Belfast, Ireland or some shit. I think that, because I don't know your height. I think you're 5'11", maybe. Yeah, that's a little. I think after you lose weight and then you're with your strength building and things like that, you'll fill out to a weight that's, you know, you'll be in a perfect spot where you can, like, bone nonstop if that's what you want to do. But, and I think that as you go through this, it gets harder and harder. You know, a person tends to plateau. Just because you lose 3 pounds a week now, 3.5 pounds a week now, that doesn't mean at all, like, you'll, because it might become more of a struggle. And then the key is, you know what happens to a lot of people? They lose the weight, and then what? Then they have to maintain the loss. And so this is not like, let's party. You just eat whatever the fuck you want. I've got a story in the hopper about that guy Jelly Roll. That's the dude. He's like, everybody loves him. Would we call Jelly Roll a country star? I don't even know if we call him a country star. I guess he's had a fair amount of success. And so now they're chronicling his efforts. Country and hip-hop influences pop music with country and hip-hop influences. Here's the thing about Jelly Roll. He's down 120, but he could probably stand to lose another 900. All right? So I don't know if it's such a good idea to be like, talking about Triumph, because he's still fucked up. This is sometimes a problem when you you say, oh, my God, you've done such a great job, but the job ain't done, you know? I mean, when they got halfway done with Notre Dame rebuilding that fucking thing, they didn't go, oh, my God, good enough. No.
Jelly Roll made his SNL debut as a musical guest on the show's 50th season premiere, a big moment for him in a year full of them. For the tattooed country star who has traveled a long, often rocky road to the top. Last year's album, Whitsitt Chapel, rocketing him to stardom, earning him 2 Grammy nominations and the Country Music Association's prestigious New Artist of the Year award. 12 months later, he's nominated at the CMAs for Entertainer of the Year.
Central Park's right up there. Oh. You did that too.
Jelly Roll, the charismatic rapper turned country star, fitting a life's worth of career milestones into a single weekend.
Honestly, I'm just happy we got you to sit still for a few minutes here, as busy as you've been lately.
God, that face is fucking impossible to look at with all those tattoos.
Going out Madison Square Garden, playing Central Park for the Global Citizen Festival, doing SNL.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jelly Roll!
What has this weekend been like for you?
Nothing short of unreal. I would say I dreamed about it, but that'd be a lie. I wasn't brave enough to dream this big. You know, I love when people are like, this was my dream come true. I'm like, how cocky were you?
Nobody walks through these doors on a winning streak.
I can't take him seriously with this face looking like there's goddamn color forms all over it. Who remembers color forms? Do they even still have those?
This weekend is sort of a microcosm of what's been happening in your life. It feels like for the last couple of years, even just looking at your tour schedule, I'm looking for days off, and they're few and far between.
My touring schedule, believe it or not, is the way I prefer to tour.
Yeah.
You know,
when does this get interesting?
I am not okay. I'm barely getting by.
The 39-year-old tells his extraordinary story by singing with raw honesty about the lowest points in his life.
The lowest points in his life have to be when he decided to get those stupid tattoos on his face.
His new album, Beautifully Broken, arrives this week.
What's the message of this album?
Redemption and hope is where it all leads to. You know, I think we're all a little broken inside. And I think if we were more honest and vulnerable about where we're broken and how we feel about things, that it could create more conversations to grow and move forward.
Born Jason DeFord, Jelly grew up just outside of Nashville in Antioch, Tennessee. He got the nickname Jelly Roll from his mom, who struggled with drugs and depression.
She was very reclusive because of the nature of her mental health. And my relationship with music kind of came through her, because she'd come downstairs and cook us dinner and play songs. And I would watch my house go from kind of dreary to a nightclub, as soon as you could snap your finger. And as a child, I just immediately related that music helped people. For me, it was something magical.
But just as he took up music himself, Jelly's life took a turn at 14 years old, when he served the first of several stints in correctional facilities over the better part of a decade. At 16, he was charged as an adult with aggravated robbery.
It took me a long time to forgive myself for what I did back then. But now I have a 16-year-old. There's nothing she could do right now that I would hold against her the rest of her life, because I know she's not thinking properly.
It's funny you mentioned your daughter, because it seems like that was the turning point.
Did you just say his daughter's not thinking properly?
Point for you. She's born while you're still locked up, and something changes in your mind.
That's it, man. But as soon as she was born, sitting in a jail cell, having $17 of honey buns and potato chips to my name, I owned one outfit, the one that was in the jail. Here I am responsible for a child. I mean, I was the lowest common denominator in life. You know, I mean, I was scum of the earth. I was a crack dealer. I was a horrible, horrible human. And I was like, I got to figure this out. Hello.
Music was the answer. After leaving prison, Jelly built a rap career by selling mixtapes out of his car and eventually performing for live audiences. By 2020, he had achieved just enough success to be happy.
At that moment, me and my wife thought we had made it. I mean, we were living in a nice neighborhood. We were selling a couple thousand tickets a weekend. And I dropped a song called Save Me.
Somebody save me. Me from myself.
Save Me was the beginning of the tide turning.
Has been so long living in hell.
It was not just a change for you in the level of success you started to enjoy, but musically it was a change. Because you were singing.
Yeah, the first comment under the YouTube video says, it's me. I comment first, of course, and I'm like, hey guys, I wish I paraphrased, but it's like, hey guys, a little different from me. Let me know if I should put it on the album.
There is something poetic about a 39-year-old man winning New Artist of the Year.
Jelly has been on a roll ever since.
I want to tell you that the windshield is bigger than the wind you'll be able to read.
A rousing acceptance speech that sounded more like a sermon for New Artist of the Year at the 2023 CMA Awards went viral. A pair of Grammy nominations came just days later.
Forgive me, I'm a little nervous. I'm used to having a rock and roll band behind me when I have a microphone in front of me.
In January, Jelly testified on Capitol Hill about the dangers of fentanyl. The singer, with a troubled past, now a model for redemption and hope.
It started with me just having extreme accountability and going, man, I helped make this mess. And then as my heart started getting right and getting more pure, I started feeling a responsibility to go clean it up.
Today, in a once unimaginable full circle moment, Jelly is partnering with the very attorney who prosecuted him as a teenager to provide at-risk youth in Tennessee with GED and vocational training.
I said, I'm all in. I will hang drywall and cut a check. You tell me which one you need me to do, if not both.
Yeah, I walk right out the floor.
Oh, this is crazy.
From Antioch to the top of the Big Apple. Not bad, huh?
It's been a long road.
You build it, and then you get to stand and tell people your story. This started by me just writing what I was feeling, and then to see so many people connected to the feelings. And then for the first time in my life, I had something I never had before. It was purpose.
Amen.
Pretty incredible. Jelly Roll's new album, Beautifully Broken, is available.
All right. I like the story. I like everything about that. Not going to lie. This headline, Jelly Roll's weight loss of 120 pounds meant overcoming food addiction, walking, and more. I expected that story to, you know, touch on that, and it did not. So that's kind of fucked up. However, it was still interesting. Jeremy says, Jelly Roll is my weight loss inspiration. Then he says, I never want to look like him. I think that's an insult, isn't it? See here. Lots of comments. Throat Slash Dale is a better story. Speaking of that, I miss trivia. Linda says facial tattoos should be outlawed. David said only an animal gets a face tattoo. Stevie says he's gross. Cole gives him the asshole of the day. Wait a minute. What the fuck? What is going on here? I mean, I don't like face tattoos either. Lots of laughs. Jeremy says, I say make facial tattoos easier to get. They make it easier for me to figure out who to not hang out with. Model and Jelly Roll shouldn't be used in the same sentence. No, his wife is a smoke show. Kenny is calling Stevie out here. He says, well, why is he gross? Because of his looks, he has a beautiful heart. Yeah, I think it's because of his looks. Okay? I would say he has a beautiful heart, but to me, if I had to choose between being around an attractive person with a shitty heart and a goddamn monster with a great heart, I'm going to choose the attractive person 10 out of 10 times. Linda says the album shouldn't have the word beautifully in the title. Tofus says, I just hate country music, and there's something about the guy that just screams bullshit. Something about him? No, I don't think so. I think he is legit. I think he has completely turned it around and is a straight shooter. Bob says, why all the Jelly Roll hate? Exactly. Kenny loves him. Maureen loves him. I love him. I just don't like looking at him because of the face tattoos. I can tolerate obesity. Okay? I can tolerate obesity because I know inside of every person who is morbidly obese is a skinny person who is just dying to get out. They just need the right type of motivation. That's why we look to our two soon-to-be formerly obese monsters, Jeremy and Kenny. Megan says he always seems sweaty. Chris says he's got a nice smile. I'm going to give him a follow. Megan says I like his heart too. Yeah, I mean, seriously, who doesn't love Jelly Roll's heart? Stevie says he looks like he's always sweating, even when he's sitting still. Well, I'm sure you got to understand. I mean, just the act of holding his head up. His head is the size of a goddamn milking cow because of all the fat around it. I mean, when you've lost 120 and you're still in that state, I mean, come on now. He needs to lose another 900 pounds minimum. Maureen says he's sincere and very humble. Absolutely. Linda says being thin wouldn't make him attractive, though. Well, not now. For some people, it's just too late. Like, if he lost all that weight, he would have to have a major bit of surgery to get rid of all that extra skin. And he's still going to look like a mongrel, and he's got tattoos on his face. And all the tattoos that are up on his head like that, after he loses all the weight, it's going to fall down to his mouth. In fact, it might work out where if he loses all the weight, the skin will just hang down like, you know, fucking foghorn, leghorn, that shit underneath his chin. And they can just hack it all off and then just throw it away. And then he's got a new face with no tattoos. Kenny says, I'm usually sweating when I'm sitting still. That is a very common thing for people that are heavy. Just moving their body is a fucking workout. You got to understand. You know what also is true? When you carry around 4,000 extra pounds, like Kenny and Jeremy, they're constantly lifting weights. Like if you could wave a magic wand and make them weigh 180 pounds, they're going to be so fucking strong because of what they need to do to just to get around. It's not easy. That's no fucking joke. That's why people who are heavy sweat, because it's hard. All right. Bob says, not a fan of country music, but he did a song with Falling in Reverse that I like. Let's see. Tofa says, and then they grew into shit pillars, a pandemic of shit pillars everywhere. I don't know what that means. Chris says, time to take the joke literally. Hey, man, you can't lose 900 pounds when you don't weigh 900 pounds. Kenny said, I'm usually sweating when I'm sitting still. And Tofus said, that's because you're evil. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You can't do that. You know, I got on Kenny for picking a fight last week. I'm getting on you too. You will never, ever make friends around here with that type of horrible rhetoric. And even when you drop evil, you know, you realize that Kenny fucking reads the Bible. You asshole. Here he is. He's making a relatable comment, admitting very vulnerably, by the way, about, hey, I have that problem when I have a issue with my weight and I sweat when I'm sitting still. And we love him for that, for admitting that. And then you call him evil? What the fuck, man? And then he follows it up with, sorry, that was uncalled for. Well, I mean, that's great that you apologized. But I don't know, man. You make it hard to get any sympathy going your way when you do that to the poor guy. Jesus Christ. Cole says, cut Tofus some slack, guys. He hasn't recovered from Trump's massive victory. You know, that's right. You know, it's moments like this when I see these insane old comments from Tofus that makes me want to, like, side with anyone who's against him and then say things like, yeah, I'm glad Trump won just so that you're pissed off. You know, what the fuck? He said, it slipped. I don't want any, though. He spent the other day attacking me, comma, shrug. See, you're not sorry, you ding-dong. David says, why does Tofus dislike Kenny so much? It's a mystery. Kenny's one of the most likable people I've ever met on the face of the earth. It's amazing to me that anybody would dislike lovable Kenny. As lovable as he is, I will say he's a pain in my asshole, but he's very, very lovable. He's easy to love. All right? You jackass. By the way, look at Darla there. How cute is that? What an absolute doll-face poochie. She's having a hard time today, so I'm glad she's resting. All right. During the whole thing about Diddy, there was two celebrities, Celebrity A and Celebrity B, who were named in a suit for raping a 13-year-old girl. It was a lawsuit filed in October. And they're like, yeah, Diddy and Celebrity A and Celebrity B raped me. And I don't think anybody's surprised at this. Celebrity A, it has been revealed, is Jay-Z.
Oh, boy.
Holy shit. Jay-Z is being named in the civil lawsuit for raping a 13-year-old with Diddy. Hey, it's Eric Zane for one of my favorite sponsors, UncommonGoods.com. Now, when you shop at UncommonGoods.com, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. UncommonGoods.com have searched all around the globe to get some of the most amazing makers of handcrafted products that are made in small amounts. Shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Seriously, just go check out the selection from all the different types of amazing products and gifts that you can get at UncommonGoods.com. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans. Just shop around. I'm telling you, the folks who get the gifts purchased through UncommonGoods.com are always going away satisfied and happy and giving you a look like, how did you think of this amazing, awesome gift? Basically, all you need to do is go to UncommonGoods.com and I'm going to give you 15% off your next gift. All you have to do is go to UncommonGoods.com/Zane. UncommonGoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Oh, boy.
We have a lot more to get to, including explosive allegations first reported by NBC News being made against rap icon Jay-Z.
All right. Now, I don't know what's true and what's not, but in addition to Diddy, can we all agree that Diddy and Jay-Z might be two of the least attractive people on the planet? Like, I would have sex with Jelly Roll before I would have sex with Jay-Z or Diddy. These are ugly people.
Icon Jay-Z. A new civil lawsuit accuses him of raping a 13-year-old girl with Sean Diddy Combs at a house party more than two decades ago. Claims both men deny.
You ever notice how Diddy, his mouth is always open? I think he might be a mouth breather. Like, he's always like his, you can see his tongue and his teeth are separated. His mouth is always agape. Like, if I was sitting there like Diddy all the goddamn time, I would need somebody to tell me, hey, you look like a fucking asshole. You look stupid.
NBC's senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett's here with more. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning to you. Ever since Combs was indicted by federal prosecutors last fall, these parties he was known for hosting and what celebrities may have...
The freak-offs with the baby oil.
...have attended has been the subject of intense scrutiny, but the blast radius around the star had been relatively contained until now.
This morning, disturbing new claims against music icon Jay-Z. A civil lawsuit detailing sexual assault, originally brought against his longtime friend Sean Diddy Combs, now adding new allegations against the rapper whose real name is Sean Carter, claims both men deny. The anonymous woman, who was 13 at the time, described in the lawsuit as being drugged and raped at an MTV VMA's after party she says Combs hosted in 2000. According to the suit, she recalls accepting a drink from a waitress that made her feel woozy and lightheaded before she says she was raped by Jay-Z and then Combs in a bedroom as an unnamed female celebrity watched.
Uh-oh. When's that name gonna come out? Whose name do you think that will be? Could that be J-Lo?
Jay-Z swiftly issuing a statement Sunday calling the claims heinous and accusing the woman's attorney of trying to blackmail him, suggesting the attorney had tried to seek a settlement first, adding, quote, I implore you to file a criminal complaint, not a civil one. Whomever would commit such a crime against a minor should be locked away. My heart and support goes out to the true victims in the world. The billionaire who is married to megastar Beyonce said...
Okay, so since this is a civil lawsuit and not a criminal case, I predict this all just goes away. Money changes hands, and this never sees the light of day.
And he is heartbroken. The couple will have to explain the, quote, cruelty and greed of people to their children. Combs, too, has denied any allegations of sexual assault. Earlier this fall, the plaintiff's attorney, Tony Busby, a personal injury lawyer in Texas, held a press conference after Combs was indicted on...
You can't trust this guy. The hair. Right there. Personal injury attorney with hair like that, for some reason, always means creepy.
Texas held a press conference after Combs was indicted on federal sex trafficking charges, suggesting more fallout would follow.
I expect that through this process, many powerful people will be exposed.
Combs pleaded not guilty to the charges and continues to deny the allegations Busby has made against him in a string of civil lawsuits, which Combs' attorneys have dismissed as shameless publicity stunts. But this marks the first suit publicly naming another high-profile celebrity.
Now, in a statement posted online, Busby, the lawyer, acknowledged sending Jay-Z a letter prior to filing this complaint, prior to this whole thing, seeking a confidential mediation, but says his client never demanded a penny from Jay-Z. At the time, she is now seeking an unspecified amount in damages, guys.
All right, Laura, thank you. Yep.
All right.
Your record.
We shall see. It seems to me like most people, when talking about this, seem to think that everybody involved in this is completely gross. The idea that the third person, the female, whether or not it could be Beyonce, is being discussed. Tyler says, yeah, Jay-Z is an ugly fuck. Linda says, I 100% believe this. I do too. There's also been talk about how old Beyonce was when she got involved with Jay-Z. There's been some talk that Jay-Z, quote unquote, started working with her, in air quotes, when she was 15 or 16. And then after that, upon becoming of age, then the relationship started. But people have wondered about that. I firmly believe that what Linda says, that this is all true, but none of this will see the light of day. These are some of the wealthiest people in entertainment. Should have no problem getting away with this. Probably the only one who I think could actually get in trouble would be Diddy. And if he flips and snitches on everybody else, that could be fucking fantastic. My God. I want to live in a world where Diddy flips on Jay-Z and Celebrity C. Megan says he's not going to snitch. They'll kill him. You know, and Tovis says the same thing. He'd be dead before that happens. That's not bullshit. He would. Man. All right, thank you so much, as always, to the amazing partners that help make this show happen. King's Room Barbershop, online at kingsroom.net. Great place for guys, the kings, or the queens, chicks who like short hair, to get their hair cut. You got three locations, Northland Drive, Caledonia, 821 36th Street. Drop in. Everything is walk-in there. I need to walk in myself and get a little trimmy. You can head over to kingsroom.net for their hours, exact locations, and schedules. A haircut will set you back $19. Maybe you like your hair colored. You can do all that, too. It's a fantastic place to get your hair cut. Guys have been getting their hair cut there for more than 50 years, and chicks who like short hair. online at kingsroom.net, kingsroom.net for King's Room Barbershop. If you need your trees cut, maybe there's some damage from wind or fucking ice storm comes through, I don't know. You just want tree removal or stump grinding, Kuiper Tree Care in West Michigan is who you call. 616-828-8225. 616-828-8225. Or go to KuiperTreeCare.com and sign up for an estimate. Just go to K-U-I-P-E-R, KuiperTreeCare.com. They are fantastic. Joe Martinez from A&E Heating and Cooling, one of our biggest anti-Detroit Lions fans. 616-516-8579. Part of the reason that I want the Lions to win so badly is just to watch what could Joe Martinez possibly say if the Lions win the Super Bowl. What type of spin, negative spin, could he put on the Detroit Lions if the Lions win the Super Bowl? Because anything short of that, he's still going to be the anti-guy. Despite all of this bullshit, he is the authority on getting your furnace taken care of. 616-516-8579. That's 616-516-8579, whether you need a new furnace or need your setup tuned up. Joe Martinez can help you with A&E Heating and Cooling. Linda says, I can't wait for Alabama to bend Michigan over. Interesting, because I know you said that you stopped your allegiance for Alabama as soon as Nick Saban left the team. But now you obviously are going to root for them because they're taking on Michigan. I personally want Michigan to win. After they beat Ohio State, I now believe Joe Martinez that they bow to no one. So now I am rooting for Michigan. I was not rooting for Michigan, but now I am now officially a Michigan fan. So screw off. Go blue. We bow to no one. I know that might be a shock to some of you. Linda says you'll be cheering for a loser. The hell I will. You see what they did to Ohio State? That's all that matters. And you know what? That team, I'm not really rooting for them. I just love maintaining this because it's stupid. They are going to be very good next year, though. They've got some great players that are going to be showing up in Ann Arbor. So there you go. I've got a little bit more about this story. This is the incident that happened during the Lions game with fan on the field for flag unfurling or whatever it was. And this moment happened.
Detroit first. Oh, whoa, hold on. Who are you talking to like that?
It's a fan. Who was like rolling out the flag.
Look at the players the jumped field. Out there. It's about to get spicy, real spicy. Go get hot sauce spicy.
All right, I'm going Packers now. Matt LaFleur is fired up.
He turned, he changed. So
LaFleur didn't like that. He spoke about it.
Yeah, I've never been a part of something like that. He was talking junk to our players, giving them the throat slash sign. And I'm, you know, you're trying to de-escalate it, and then he gets in my face. So
I thought he didn't, though. You weren't trying to de-escalate it. You walked up to the fan. You should have just kept your mouth shut.
It was pretty unsportsmanlike. Like, I've never seen that.
A lot of you pointed out, who cares if it's unsportsmanlike? That guy's not a player.
Been on many fields, and usually they police that much better. I thought it was an arrogant fan that...
Yeah, whatever. That guy spoke. He was interviewed. And... the website rebooted, so give me a second while I...
I have a structured settlement, and I have to call. Call J.G. Wendt.
Hey, hang on. Oops, so I'm podcasting live right now, Stu.
Podcasting live, Eric Zangel Podcast. Coming to you from a dormer.
Oh, big time. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm up here in shithole Michigan.
Oh, what part?
I just left Boyne City.
Okay.
On my way to Caberface Ski Resort.
I was just in Petoskey yesterday, Stu.
Oh, yeah? What for?
It was a stupid radio station casino remote.
Oh, nice.
And I, oh, my God. Some of the biggest pieces of shit human beings I've ever seen inside of that goddamn casino.
Is that the Odawa Casino?
I don't want to say what casino it was because I might get somebody pissed off.
Okay, fair enough. I've performed at a casino many times.
Oh, yeah.
Big shithole.
By the way, sorry to the audience. I had Stu's volume up a little too high, and I think I fried all their ears.
Sorry. Much apologies.
All right. So I assume you want to talk about Bills Lions?
Yeah. That's why I was calling. I want to set up a bet, a challenge with your co-host.
Oh, big
unless
time.
You want to do it.
No, fuck no. I want Ben to do it. I don't want to do it.
So, like a stunt, like an eating challenge. Like if the Lions lose, he's got to chug a bottle of blue cheese.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And then if
the Bills lose, then I got to do whatever.
Okay. I will talk to him this week.
Yeah.
And get after that. And then the game is Sunday at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll be there. I got tickets for the game, so I'll be there.
That's right. I remember. Now, the Bills fucked it up yesterday.
Oh, my God. Their defense was atrocious. Did you watch? Probably not.
I saw the last bit of the game where they ended up running out the clock. Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
They fucked the Bills right in the ass.
Right in the old butthole. Yeah, it was bad. The referees were bad. I don't like to blame the refs, but dear Lord, it was not pleasant. So
I'm guessing the Lions will be favored by like a field goal because it's two good teams going at it.
Yeah, maybe even a little more. I'm pretty worried. I'm not going to lie. I can't lie. I'm worried. I'm worried. I'll be eating or drinking, whatever.
All right. Well, where are your seats? Are they in the nosebleeds?
Yeah, I'm assuming. I'm pretty cheap. I got no money.
Okay.
I'm surprised I'm even inside.
So you'll be wearing your Bills gear?
Oh, yeah. I got a West Michigan Bills backer, a flag I'll bring. It'll be a good time.
Are you going with other people that like, know you?
Yeah.
Okay,
going with
good.
A bunch of other people.
All right. Yep. I'm happy to hear that, because otherwise you might wind up dead.
I've thought about that, man. I'm a guy, when I go to other people's events or whatever, I keep my mouth shut. I don't start shit. I don't want shit. I'm smart enough to realize that. I can't fight for nothing.
Yeah, but don't forget, even if that's so, you're up in the loser seats. So you're going to be surrounded by some of the biggest piece of shit humanity, just like you.
A lot of drunk a-holes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what happens. I go watch my P's and Q's.
All right. I will get on it. I will talk to Ben Glaze, and we'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, figure out what I would do. He's going to drink a bottle of blue cheese, and I'll do whatever.
All right. Perfect.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you.
Thanks.
All right.
Stu McAllister, sorry about your ears. Rest in peace to your ears. My apologies on that. Sometimes that happens. I'm not good with technology from time to time. All right. So anyway, Matt LaFleur says, oh, yeah, that guy, he's got bad sportsmanship. I've never seen anything like it. Such outrage because the fan was doing his thing. Holy shit. They sat, local TV station sat down for an interview with the actual guy in that video. So they had a moment to speak with him, and this is that. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing. I just want to hear his side on this.
1,000 people cheering and sold out crowd. Lights are down, and you know, you see the players, and they're, you know, mean mugging you, and you know, you see the energy is, it's unbelievable. You know, so maybe got caught up in it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not?
I might have to interpret what the reporter is saying to him because it's so low.
Right.
And so when was the last time you got to do the flag? Was
I did the flag for the Tampa Bay playoff game too, and sort of did the same thing, you know, booing, telling them you're going down. Todd Bowles was the coach. He was clapping, smiling, laughing at, pointing at me, you know, and I loved that. I was pointing back, you know, and was not expecting to get charged. So that was first.
Well, okay. So what happened that night? Just, you know, what was said?
She's asking what was said.
Honestly, just walking down, just, you know, looking at the, we're about 5-10 yards away from the sideline, just kind of looking at all the players. Definitely let them know, like, you're going down, you're done, it's over. Let them know we're going to beat you two times, once at home, once here, two times. And he didn't like that. Once I did the throat slash, he absolutely lost it, which I understand. I mean, I got caught up in the moment and the fans and the adrenaline and stuff. But, yeah, it was madness.
The PG version, what were the words exchanged there?
She says, what's the PG version of the words exchanged?
For me, it's literally like, you're going down, you're done, you're toast. I got a lot of shut the F up, you know?
Okay, I don't think this guy, according to his story, he was doing anything more than just saying, like, the worst thing he did was throat slash, which I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, like, in youth sports, you should get, like, more points if you do throat slash. I love throat slash. Throat slash is not the problem. So if that's all he did, the biggest thing going was to give them throat slash, well, that's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get him out of here. Get him. Yeah, it was, I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Was not expecting it, like I said. I don't know.
I don't think anybody was expecting to see things just escalate.
And it's funny. I was like, we got back to our seats and, you know, I was obviously telling, like, we'd sit with all season ticket members and stuff. And I was telling them what happened. And I'm like, yo, I told my wife, like, no one is going to believe me. Like, there's no one's going to believe that this happened. And then before halftime, everyone saw it. Once Pat McAfee put it on Twitter, I was out of there within the next 20 minutes.
You were out of there?
Yeah, yeah. Security. So they escorted us off the field, which I totally get. We didn't get to do the flag thing, and I totally understand that. So we left, you know, no problem.
So they escorted him off the field, and then he sits down in his seat. And then when it starts to get circulated around the internet, then they come to get him and say it's time to go?
Problems at all. I went up to back to my seats, was watching the game, and then right before halftime, a Ford Field employee came in and was like, you got to come with me. And then I was met by like 5, 6, 7 state troopers.
Oh my God.
Who were not happy with me at all, which I understand.
What were they
fucking
saying?
Fucking pigs.
They charged?
No, they didn't charge me or anything. Oh. They just asked me to leave. I had to leave the game at halftime.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I didn't get to finish the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This guy's way too cool.
Worth it, you think? Or do you think LaFleur should have had some repercussions for going after a fan?
I mean, he's a head coach, you know. I don't see Dan Campbell ever doing something like that. I don't know. And I get it for him too. This is a rivalry game. Like, as much as I love the Packers, that's as much as I love the Lions, that's how much I hate the Packers. You know, and I'm sure he feels the same way. Like, this is a rivalry. This is
one
of the biggest rivalries, so I can understand him getting.
I kind of want this guy to be more pissed, you know, start calling people the N-word or something like that.
Worked up about it, but I don't know. I don't think it should have got to that level. Maybe from both our sides. Maybe from me too. I admit that it shouldn't have got to that level. But
look, everybody knows that fans are all assholes. Every fan is an asshole. And LaFleur knows that. Keep your mouth shut, bitch. Fuck you.
I think it's a little bit on both of us.
But your love for the Lions just runs that deep.
It's that deep. I mean, like I've been telling you, I've been sticking up for these guys my whole life. Like, you know, my interesting fact when I was a kid in school was like, hey, stand up, tell us your name and a fun fact about you. It's like, I'm Fahad and I'm a diehard Lions fan. And they're like, oh, what? Like, why are you a Lions fan, you know? And so that's just always been me, like, my love for football and the Lions, yeah.
And now that we're that good, you have that joy inside.
My whole life I've seen teams spank us, put up 50 points on us, and talk crap to us. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of have it the other way now.
Yeah. And in that heated exchange, because, you know, we can see, you know, LaFleur is going after it. What did some of the refs, some of the players say? Because they jumped in there too.
Yeah, I can't really pick out what like players or refs were saying, but they're just like, get him out. It's like, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. So
yeah,
we got out of there.
What about the fans around you?
Well, at first, when I was just telling them, they're like, yeah, okay, Fahad, like, we bet. But then afterwards, like, everyone all of a sudden is, like, on their phone and, like, pulling up, like, videos. And my wife's like, my father-in-law is sending my wife videos. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting high-fived and stuff, you know. But, yeah.
It's a story nobody would believe.
For real, I swear. But all the cameras caught it. And, like, the Kings of the North, it's... Yeah, we're at the game. I'm having some beers and stuff. I'm not, like, it wasn't alcohol induced. If I hadn't had a drop of liquor, I'm doing the same thing. Or a drop of beer, yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Those are my guys, and yeah. Sticking up for them, yeah.
And if you look around the stadium, a lot of that same stuff is going, you know, around too. We saw someone with a cheese grater.
Yeah, I saw that. That guy's sweet.
Okay, I've hit it. Nice guy. It seems like nothing, no real heat. Cole says this guy's wife is asshole of the day for putting up with him. Cole also adds, how many months mortgage payment is this guy behind? Spends all his money on lines. I don't know how anybody can go to a goddamn NFL game, even just one. Those season ticket holders, they get the cost of the tickets before they hit the secondhand market. Tofa says this guy did nothing wrong and he is way too chill for what happened. He got kicked out of the game because of a head coach who's a fucking fragile little bitch. Kenny says Packers coach should reach out and apologize to this guy and buy him tickets to the next Lions game that are on the 50-yard line or something. Kenny's buddy Tofa says Matt LaFleur is asshole of the day and so are the cunts who made this guy leave the game. No, I mean, it's true. The Lions are bitches when it comes to this. Whoever decided to punish the guy. I mean, he already had to leave the flag ceremony. If I own the team, I'd say, no. You make him fan of the game. Okay? You have all the cheerleaders, like, suck his dick or something. And, like, put it on the video board. Because of this shit. Fucking fantastic. The Packers fucking suck. Their fans have been such bitches since the Lions fucking forcibly boned them in that last game. All this nonstop. Oh, the refs. They lost the game. It's all refs' fault. God damn. Jesus Christ. It has been outstanding. I'm so happy that they have become the Lions' bitch. We have waited so long for this. Oh. Incredible. All right. I'm getting set to wrap this up. In fact, I will conclude with the asshole of the day in mere moments. Thank you, as always, to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Reach out to Mario, 231-332-6505. That's 231-332-6505. Buy now, refinance later with Mario from anywhere in the U.S., 231-332-6505, NMLS number 3035, with the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Mario will roll out the red carpet for you, so you get pre-approved, you start shopping for your house, and boom, there you go. In a couple years, you're going to refinance at a much lower rate, and you're going to be so happy. Please include Mario in your discussion with whoever you're also entertaining, possibly working with. Let Mario be part of that process and throw his hat in the ring. 231-332-6505. Thank you to Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. Frank Fuss is the guru. When it comes to Medicare, when it comes to Social Security planning, healthcare on the marketplace, and, of course, life insurance. Schedule time with Frank by going to buyinsurancehere.com. That's B-U-Y, insurancehere.com. The asshole of the day when we wrapped up the week last week was United Health. It's been so bad in New York. No one gives a shit that that guy got murdered. They had a assassin lookalike contest in Washington Square in New York City. I'm not kidding you. So you got all these people that dressed up like the way that guy dressed up when he shot that guy in the back. And they're all like having a good laugh. Jesus. And that's entirely true. Blue Cross Blue Shield did take back that anesthesia limit that you guys informed me about. After the assassination of that guy. Is that considered an assassination? Or is it just a murder? Who determines whether or not something is an assassination or a murder? Do you have to be like super important? So I think that that would make this an assassination, right? Or do you have to be like a political figure to be assassinated? I don't think that's true. John Lennon was assassinated. We'll answer that at another time. All right. Please keep Great Food Giveaway on your mind. It's very important that we raise that money. We are about $1,600 short, and time is running out. So please, please drop a few bucks in our bucket. 27 people have donated $2,025 as of right now. If we could double that to be 27 times 2, I think we'll have a make great headway today. So please, please, please. At Eric-Zeitunian on Venmo, Zeitunian, or on PayPal, at Eric Zane Show, all one word. Your asshole of the day is the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. Fuck that guy. And I want to thank you, as always, for being here and being part of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Sorry to your ears earlier. Kenny says, asshole of the day, haters of Jelly Roll. How can you hate Jelly Roll, asshole? Jay-Z gets a nomination, too. All right. Thank you, folks. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Till next time. Bye-bye.